Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst. We ask, O Father, that you continue to reveal yourself to us. And Father, most of all, we want to hear your voice. Oh Lord, it's terrible not to hear your voice, not to be led by your Spirit. It's no different than being lost out in the world and not having no relationship with you. Father, we are your sheep, and you say that your sheep hear your voice. Help us to discern your voice, speaking to us in various manners. We ask, O God, that you cause us to be attuned to you. And we ask, O Lord, that even right now, that your Spirit will come upon each one of our hearts and minds. And let an understanding flow forth. Let the scales drop from our eyes. And let the things that block us from hearing you drop off. That we may hear your voice and your voice alone. And cause us to know, Lord, as we leave this place today, that we have heard and we have understood how to hear your voice. And Father, for all that you do, we give you the glory, the worship, and the honor. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Praise God. We are on a series on the voice of God. And last week we talked about the voice of God in creation. How God speaks to us in creation. And today we want to look at God speaking to us through circumstances. We touched a little bit on that the last week in God in creation. We're going to look at God speaking in circumstances. So is it possible for God to speak to us through circumstances? Yes, but there are laws about how God does that. Because circumstances sometimes can be forced. So we are not dependent. Remember, as we cover this series, we are not dependent on circumstances. The most important voice you hear is the inner voice of the Spirit within you. However, we need to consider all that is around the creation and circumstances and how God operates through those things. Because circumstances can sometimes confirm what God is speaking to our lives. Circumstances sometimes can be a challenge to what God wants us to do. So we need to learn how to handle circumstances. There's a famous story in the book of Judges called Gideon's Fleece. It speaks about a man named Gideon and who wants confirmation on what God is speaking to him about leading the Israelites. So Gideon prayed a prayer and put a fleece out. And he told the Lord, Lord, if it is dry and then everything is wet around, that I'll take it as you. And something that was physically impossible. And then when God did that, he was not satisfied. He said, do it the other way around. And the other way around happens. And it's known as Gideon's fleece. And sometimes Christians try to use that, especially today, when they want to be led by the Spirit. And there is in the New Testament, what before the Holy Spirit came down, when they cast lots to choose among two people, one of them to replace Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, to join the 12. And we are told about the story of the casting of lots. Now, doesn't the casting of lots sounds a bit like chance? It does. That story, by the way, is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And so if chance is involved, then circumstances are involved, correct? Because how would you know when you cast a lot, which lot will fall on who? So there's chance involved, but notice this, it never happened again after the Holy Spirit came. The only way the people were led after the Holy Spirit came was by hearing the voice of the Spirit. So that's the New Testament pattern. However, in the Old Testament, they do use a lot of casting of lots many times. And remember how one time they want to isolate certain individuals as to who has partaken of the honey when there was an oath that Saul pronounced rashly that no one should eat until he conquered his enemy. And then it came down to Jonathan by the casting of lots. What we can tell is there's an Old Testament pattern and there's a New Testament pattern in God speaking to His people. In the New Testament, God speaks primarily through the Holy Spirit. But as we all know, a lot of the Old Testament things still get carried through. What we have in the New is we have everything in the Old plus more. That means that God still can speak through circumstances. However, circumstances are no more the final word. It used to be the final word before the Holy Spirit came. But when the Holy Spirit came, it's not the final word, but it's one of the ways that God still uses. The final word has to come from our inside. And we will cover these areas as we go along in this series. But we must not neglect that God does work in circumstances. He still does today. He's the same God. And so we need to look at some of the laws governing circumstances. Now, circumstances to us looks like a happenstance. Things that just happen. The ball bounces whichever way it wants. But we saw last week the ball bouncing on the floor. When you throw a ball down on the floor, it bounces. We do have a ball. Thank you very much. I don't know where that came from. And thank you very much. So it says, that we do not know which way the ball bounces, but there are laws that govern how the ball bounces. It's not an accident. If an accident, no one can play tennis. No one can play anything that has a ball. The ball bounces or goes in a certain direction based on the direction in which it is pushed, the ground on which it bounces, how hard, how soft, the material of the ball, the temperature, plus gravity. It will bounce differently in sub-zero gravity. And so we realize that it's not just chance. Now, because we are so tiny as an individual in the whole scheme of God's creation, we sometimes think that all that has happened is by chance. It is not. And there are two little laws that are involved in circumstances that I want to mention. Every action, every imagination produces a cycle of activity. It causes an action and a reaction. Every circumstance, every action, and every imagination. I use the word imagination carefully, and I'll explain that later. Not only do our actions produce it, but there is a rank of our imagination that produces a certain cycle of activity. When someone is obsessed with something for some time, it will produce some reaction in themselves and in others. So, like for example, if I push this chair, there is an action, there is a reaction. But what the action and reaction is immediate. There's an immediate action and reaction. Now, some actions do not have immediate reaction. They take time. So the first law in understanding how God speaks our circumstances to understand is every action and every imagination. And you can put the word imagination with the Hebrew word for imagination, which is the word yetzer. Y-E-T-Z-E-R. And we have a whole series on that. Yetzer. Every action and every yetzer or imagination produces a cycle. A cycle action and reaction. It does something. And whoever is caught in that cycle will experience it. For example, if you go to into a swimming pool and the swimming pool is calm, yeah, one person jumping, it produces splashing in the water and waves. Another person jump in, now is a big enough guy jumps in on the other end of the pool, it will cause a big wave to come your way. Right? You are suffering the reaction and the cycle produced by that guy who jumps in just now. And if it's a pool deep enough where they do a lot of diving, the higher the person jumps from, the greater that splash is. I mean, if they splash and if they and call that the big splash. And if that person is sizable enough, about three times the size of my dog, Mozart,
He will make a big splash. And
you wouldn't want to be about 2 meters away from where he splashed. So his action causes a reaction in you, got the consequences of it. Every action or yetzer produces a cycle of circumstances to flow. Now, the second law involved is every cycle has a beginning and an end. It has a beginning and an end. It should logically end. But because the action produces a reaction, it continues. So if for example, I throw this ball on the ground, if the ground is soft and mushy, like mud, the ball will just get in and stuck, and my action, it absorbs all of the action of my ball. It doesn't come out anymore. But because the ball is hard, it reacts to the ball, and the ball actually is squashed, and it actually bounces off. So action produces a reaction. See? That produces a reaction. Right. Now, if Stephen doesn't react, right, he will get a knocking on his head. Right? So, it produces a reaction. Now, because he reacts, the ball ended up here and not there. So every cycle has a beginning and an end. Now, at the ending part, if there's a reaction, it continues to cycle. Now, that speaks about things in every area. For example, when people think about overcoming the devil or trying to do something to overcome evil, you can never overcome evil with evil. Because if someone is evil and you do all the unlawful things to get rid of that guy and you succeed, you have become a greater evil. For you have used a greater illegal force to overcome this guy. You have become the greater illegality. So the only way to overcome evil is to overcome it with good. Because when good overcomes evil, only goodness prevails. Which is why when one nation wants to fight against another nation, a nation can use all the illegal methods. For example, the police want to capture the criminal. The police are limited by the law. The police cannot... I mean, generally, they cannot. They're not supposed to. Right? I know being human, sometimes in an imperfect society, sometimes even the law, the law keepers are not law-abiding. But strictly speaking, the law enforcers are supposed to capture the criminals using lawful methods. Reasonable force too. And lawful methods. And if they do it lawfully, good overcomes evil. But if they use illegal means, they themselves have become a greater evil. And so it depends on how the reaction is that the set of circumstances begin. Now let's look at some of the things in the Bible. All of us, when we come onto this earth, at whichever point we come into this life, we already suffer consequences of all that has gone before us. All of society, all of creation. For example, straight away, we already suffer the consequences of Adam's sin. You enter into a cycle of a chain of events. Some things have a long cycle. Let's look at the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Passage that we look at the last week, 2 Samuel chapter 21. In verse 1, it says, "Now there was a famine in the days of David." Now this is what David, who was a good king, experienced for 3 years, year after year. "And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites.'" Now at that time, Saul has already died. Many years have passed by. This is 2 Samuel chapter 21. Many years into David's reign. And yet, he experienced nearly a few decades ago the action and reaction that is caused by Saul. King Saul did something in his reign that was bad, that was illegal,